Hello, everybody. It is Suzanne with another energy update, and I am so fortunate to have some clients that are more than willing to share their stories anonymously, of course, to help others. And this particular client, I was very appreciative of her allowing me to share not only her story, but an extension of her family story, because it has a lot to do with mental illness. And I think, gosh, in today's world, you know, we put such a negative stamp on mental illness alone just because of the fact that we're ignorant, first and foremost. We don't understand mental illness in terms of a lot of the things that we struggle with and how that maybe directly affects to spirituality or aligns with spirituality and soul contracts, etc. That said, also, when we have such a crappy social structure that does not necessarily support the need for the help that is absolutely needed out there, I think that it's difficult and it makes for some really stress-filled days for people, especially someone like my client. She is a gal who has one child and he is probably, I think she said, around 18, 19 or so. She herself is a single mother, and she has herself struggled with massive high anxiety, depression, lots and lots of deep depression throughout most of her life, and started seeing me as a client because of that years back here, and really does struggle very deeply with her own issues. And obviously, you know, almost 20 years ago, got pregnant and has been responsible as a single parent for this child, who now is very, very, very much showing similar things, much less, maybe even more issues, because I think our society itself and the collective energies here is so much more crappy to be living in. And she is currently struggling very, very hard to help her son go through the mental health system. And the way that our government and our medical fields treat this stuff is very difficult. And she has been unbelievably stressed going through the loops and the, you know, down the rabbit holes day in and day out to try to get some help. And I think what happens to people when we go through something like this, especially if we're the parent, is we feel hand-tied. We feel frustrated. We feel upset. We feel hopeless. We feel despair, and on that list goes. But when we ourselves are also struggling to stay afloat and doing our own work to maintain a sense of balance and spirituality and 3D versus 5D kind of existence, when I'm caught up in that mental health bullshit programming, what happens is I'm going to re-trigger. I am going to, as the parent, re-trigger, if I'm not careful, because of these stupid social structures that I'm stuck in. And I need to be very, very well aware of maintaining my boundaries and really being diligent to find almost a really good balance of what we would call tough love, meaning, yes, my son is dealing with this, but I have to, if I choose to, but hopefully I'm choosing to, come first in terms of my boundaries. I need to find the ways to fill my own fuel sources so that I am bringing my best self to the table, and that if I am at that frequency, then I won't feel the defeated feeling as much when I'm going through the bullshit of the social system. And this is really important for us, because if I am going into the bullshit of the social system with that really low maintained level, those triggers are going to come back fast and furious. This particular client, the gal, has done some really great work on herself. She has done some really good work, and she can see from outside of herself now as the observer how she is or is not holding that fuel. And I was super, super excited for her. But the one thing that was just killing her was the verbal abuse that she's getting from this son. And this isn't judging anybody or anyone. We just all have similar stories somehow, some way. And this might not be about mental abuse and social systems. It might be a really crappy boss at work, or it might be a sibling or whatever. So just make this apply if it does, and let it go if it doesn't. But This particular case, the son lives with her and is very verbally abusive to her and will scream to her things like, you know, this is all your fault. This is your fault because you know that you have all of this stuff too. And you, being a mentally ill person, had no right to bring an actual child into the world. And that is simply cruel, first and foremost. But he gets to say things like that because that's how his mind is working. And we all get to say and do things we choose to. The point is she also gets to react to that in a number of ways. And it is critical for her to understand that this is something that she can do something about in terms of self-protection. Many of us are abused from, you know, a crappy boss to a partner to maybe a mother or a father or, in this case, a child. And I think it's important for us to know abuse is not okay, but it is going to happen. And that person has the choice to choose to treat us the way that they're choosing to. But I get to choose to how I take that in or not take that in. And again, when we're talking energetically, this is really important for us to be able to remember the ground and the bubble technique. It's be able to have that kind of shield of protection. That's not shielding me from, like, you know, not letting you in. What it is it's being able to keep my own fuel in. It's being able to keep my own frequency at a level that says, huh, you know what? That's your truth right now, but it's just not mine. That's what you're thinking or saying, but that doesn't resonate with the frequency that's residing inside of my own auric bubble. That might be your perception or your reality, but that is not mine inside of my own consciousness vibration. And on this goes. This process of discernment is so critically important for us. And if we were taught this in third grade, my God, people, we would be a completely different humanity and planet by now, because we are trained to be able to not only allow somebody into my field, but make their truth my truth and vice versa. And the reality is that simply on an energetic level is not true. We choose to it. We choose to do it. We choose to allow it. We choose to let it happen. And we can also change that choice. So when he lashes out at her in this particular instance, it's because he's scared and we are fear-filled. And that's understandable if we take a moment and really tap in and say, okay, this is where my compassion and my empathy comes in. But it doesn't really be that easy when someone's in a volatile, you know, situation and it's at a fight or flight, and that the verbal attack situation is having an aura that is really feeling like it's daggers and arrows flying at me versus, oh, compassion and kindness and understanding. So it's important for us to find that boundary in terms of our physical self, so our emotional, mental self can feel somewhat more in charge of what my truth is, and just not react, but maybe respond. And I think that this is super important. And to me, as a practitioner, it all starts with the aura. It all starts with my own aura and my own ground. So I was asking my client, how much quiet time or alone time, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, how much quiet time or alone time are you getting? And of course, in this situation, it feels like none, because all she's doing is running from one social system to the other and really getting, you know, deflated and depleted. And I think it's really important for us to find those moments of respite, whether it's I'm sitting in my car for 5 minutes after that really crappy meeting, or I am waking up an hour earlier and doing something for myself. So personal responsibility comes in to this situation. Sometimes when we have a scenario like this in terms of, you know, mental health being passed down, I try to work with that client if it applies, and if they're at a space and a place in their knowledge level, which this particular client is, to really talk a little bit bigger scope in terms of soul contracts and what we sign up for. And, you know, this child screaming at her saying, you have no right to bring in a child to this world knowing that you had mental health problems. I said to her, but that isn't necessarily the whole picture. The whole picture is that he chose from a higher perspective as a soul to drop into that sperm and egg container. when we start this world, we have to have a sperm and an egg container. But when we are in between those lives, we as a soul pick those family structures from a higher source energy for a reason. Now, this is not necessarily going to be something that her mentally handicapped 18-year-old child's going to get, but she can get it. So she can allow his harmful words to move through her differently if she gets this. If he gets it, great. If he even wants to entertain or ponder that, awesome. But she gets to, if she chooses to, understand that he might throw those daggers out at me, but there's a piece of me in my heart and in my soul that knows that isn't the full story, that knows from a higher perspective that this was not a mistake that I did. It wasn't something good or bad or wrong. It is simply I offered the container and his soul chose to align with a DNA strand that had mental illness also in terms of his life path down here. For whatever reason, that soul chose that DNA lineage line to be able to experience this. And I don't get to judge that. I don't get to think that's right or wrong. I don't get to change that and so on. This gives my client as the mother a sense of freedom and less feeling like she's judged from her own child. So this is something, if that makes some sense to you, that is really offering you the sense of surrender. And surrender, God, that's a hard word, isn't it? Most of us fight that word to the nth degree because we think it's weak. I remember way back, you know, being young, I'm like, oh, hell no, there's no way I'm going to surrender. And that's when we dig in and double down. And the reality is when we're talking from a soul's perspective, surrender is probably one of the most, divine words that's out there, because what we're surrendering to is our higher story. What we're surrendering to is the knowledge that I already know everything's okay, that it is doing and I am doing and they are doing all as it should be. Whether it feels good or bad or not, all is okay from a higher perspective. And there's freedom in that. There is joy in that. It's really hard when you've got this kind of a situation, though, because one of the biggest fears for her is if she does something wrong, her son will potentially commit suicide. And he threatens this quite consistently. And this keeps her feeling hostage to so many of the situations that don't offer her the freedom. Again, if we go back to this concept of, I literally don't have that much power in the 3D world. I can or cannot help somebody kill themselves or not kill themselves. And I don't mean to sound, you know, flippant here, but basically, if someone's going to kill themselves, there's not a dang thing that I really ultimately get to do about it. I might divert it. I might change the time. I might, you know, push the schedule of the agenda. But ultimately, there isn't anything I can do or say to change someone's choices. And if we are really obsessing about that and overdone with, you know, fried thinking, consuming my life with that fear, all that's doing is supporting that potentiality, because the grid patterns out there of reality are filling with whatever consciousness you're putting out there. It's the law of attraction. If I really, really, really want something, I'm creating it. If I really, really, really don't want something, I'm creating it. So she is not creating the ability for her son to leave this earth plane in a meat body, meaning suicide. She can't make that happen, but she can't not make that happen. But by obsessively only thinking about the negative side of things, what that does is it puts more potentiality into the grid pattern for that to be a reality. She doesn't do it directly. It's an indirect support system. So what one wants to do, if they choose, is to actually go into the other paradigm, shift sides of this and say, yes, indeed, I know that's a reality, but I am choosing to see another ending. I am choosing to write another narrative. I am choosing to focus on that things will be the way that I would like them to be, with a happy ending, and et cetera, et cetera. So it is really, really important for us to add in other realities to that plane of potentiality. It's really important for us to add in other endings that have a happy ending, if we want to use those words, knowing full well that those other potentialities are there, but not giving them time and attention. So the concept of everybody gets to is something that's really important when we're working with something as difficult as mental health issues and suicide and depression and et cetera. We all get to do anything we want to. That's the bottom line. We all will or will not navigate our consequences accordingly. But when one starts to surrender to the concept of he or she gets to, then one gets to also step up to the I also get to. What do I want to do about this? So if someone is verbally attacking me, he or she gets to say that. But does that indeed have to be my reality? Oh, hell no. I can absolutely have a different reality. So it's important for us to, when we're in these really, oh God, like it just feels like I'm down in the well and I can't get out and despair is there. In my opinion, sometimes it helps to look bigger. And I said to her, you know, knowing that you struggled as a young person with mental health, and now your son is doing the same thing around the same age and you know, younger and such, it's kind of important, I think, sometimes to look at, huh, what did you guys sign up for a soul contract? What did this come about in a repeat pattern for? And quite potentially, you know, it's to do something different. It's to change that course. It's to maybe look at, not only am I going to navigate these ridiculously broken social structures, but maybe I am going to be an advocate. Maybe I am going to be the one that stands on the soapbox. Maybe I am going to find the strength and the balance to work this system, because that's exactly what I came here to do. And that's why the repeat process happened. Maybe I am going to learn how to move forward and make social change. I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm just saying, think about it. Maybe that is indeed why you, as a person, an individual, and then an extended family, chose to repeat this pattern. Maybe it's to absolutely make change in the pattern on behalf of the all. Now, sometimes we don't have the wherewithal to do that. We don't have the skill set to do that possibly. We don't have the time to do that possibly. That doesn't mean that we can't do it in the form of prayer. That doesn't mean that we can't, you know, spend 5 seconds and put that into the grid pattern and release and asking for social change that way. If I can't trot my butt down to the state capitol and you know, be in front of somebody or stand on the lawn with a sign to make change, I can make change through prayer and intention. And when I do that, that at least gives me, as the human being who feels so helpless, some sense of control again, when it's not really control. It's just empowerment. And what we're always looking for is control, and control is fake. And so what we really want to do is replace that yearn with empowerment. And empowerment comes in these kinds of scenarios from surrender. Surrender to higher source, surrender to higher alignment, surrender to those soul contracts. So these are really difficult and tough things. I think what is the most important here is to remember this new version of selfishness, this new like way to look at I do come first, and have a boundary of very much tough love in terms of I will take, you know, my 10 minutes or my 2 hours or my 2 days to be sure that I am my highest and my best, to ensure that I can navigate these social structures and systems on behalf of the all in the best way I possibly can. And then be diligent in terms of that boundary and that bubble so that I can deflect those verbal arrows being thrown at me. And I can then see my son with compassion and kindness versus triggering my old patterns of guilt and then slipping into my own depression. So these are really hard loop patterns. These are really difficult things, but they are very real. And, you know, our mental health systems out there are getting bigger and more expansive all the time, because the amount of people that are not holding their ground are, you know, allowing so much programming to come into their system, whether we know it or not. And we have become a society of really, really angry people and frustrated people because no one's owning their own power. So I'm not judging anybody or anything, because it doesn't even matter. We all do this to some extent. We all, every single one of us, you know, fall victim to judgment on a daily basis. And we all need to remember they get to, he gets to, she gets to, and then ultimately remember I get to. What do I want to do with this? How do I want to move forward? So this can be a really tricky thing, but it can really change your life. So hopefully we all learn something from this courageous woman's story. And until next, cosmic hugs.